Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You don't want to look like a chintz.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to end up looking like a sucker either.
What happened?
And that is the delicate line you are walking when you order a drink in an unfamiliar place. Because spending this much on liquid in a glass should be illegal.
Okay.
But until that drink is poured,
what
is coming might be a mystery.
Right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So Saturday night, I am arm candy for my wife.
Oh.
That's right. She had an event that I was going to accompany her to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put on the good threads and be my charming, handsome self.
This is like big doctor stuff.
It was big, like, charity stuff.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I know.
You know, she's a member of, like, five different, like, community service organizations. Yeah. So here I go. And we were going to be there for a while.
Mm.
So right when I got there,
yeah.
I walked in, I headed straight to the bar, and I was going to grab myself a stiff drink.
All right.
So the only, I'm going whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And the only whiskey they had behind the bar was Seagram's.
Seagram's. It's a pretty standard well whiskey.
I haven't had Seagram's since I was like 18.
Or usually you mix that. You don't even drink it straight.
But it's all they got, yeah. Right? And I'm not wasting any time on mixers.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going in.
Keeping it simple.
All right, yeah. So I keep it as simple as possible. The standard whiskey, double, neat, and I'm on my way.
All right.
Except it's a cash bar, which is fine. No big deal. Until the glass is full. The bartender slides it to me and tells me what I owe her.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy, would you like to guess, based on your infinite wisdom, what a double Seagram's neat costs?
All right, so Seagram's is a lower-end whiskey.
Yeah.
I would say no more than $7 a shot, so I would put that drink at $14.
Kim, you want to take a shot?
I saw the price.
Okay.
It's airport prices, put it that way.
$28.
$28.
Yeah. $28.
So that bottle... At Century is probably less than $28.
Kimmy, can you Google
for a 750 mil?
750 mils is standard, yeah. Right? Can you Google what a 750 mil bottle of Seagram's cost? A Seagram's double neat.
We should get about 30 shots out of that bottle.
It cost $28. So after tip, I was holding a $30 Seagram's in my hand.
And you could have shot that down. I've seen you drink.
What do you mean, shot that down?
You could have just
shot it down. Absolutely, without question.
That drink could have been over in a minute.
Bro, it was the lightest sips I've ever taken in my life. I was thinking about saving some for Sunday morning, bringing it home in a doggy bag.
Were you counting how much each sip cost you?
No, but now I'm going to start doing that next time. Kimmy, what do we got?
It's between, like, so I'm seeing anything from, like, $15 to, like, God. $18.
Yeah, Seagram's has never been an expensive whiskey.
So I could have gotten two bottles for what I spent.
60 shots.
Okay. I felt.
It's so good to own a bar.
Okay. I felt like such an idiot.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do, right?
No.
Okay.
Especially at that event. What would you do?
Right.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What do you do when they hand you a drink that you know costs way too much? All right, I'm going to ask a serious question because she pours me the double.
Yeah.
She slides it over the bar, and she tells me $28.
Yeah.
And I go, what?
Yeah.
Right? And so she was $28. And she doesn't even, like, give me, like, the bartender, like, yeah, I know, look. She's just like, $28.
Yeah.
Can you say I don't want it?
I don't know how that would work.
What do you mean?
Because you ordered it.
Okay.
You poured it.
Yeah, but I mean, I can order food, have it brought out to me, and be like, I'm not going to eat this food, and you got to give me a refund for it.
Yeah, I guess what would your excuse be other than
it cost $28?
Price.
So I guess if they wanted to keep everybody happy, they would take it back.
Okay.
But I don't know how that would work at a standard bar or at the airport or something like that. You know what I mean?
Because look, I know there are drink menus you can look at most bars you go to, right? But we all assume.
But they don't give you all the spirits.
Sometimes they do.
I've never, rarely.
I think it's a new, Kimmy, like the drink menus are a newer thing in bars.
You
right?
might see some of the higher menu. End stuff, but I don't think they're going to give you all the well prices.
Okay, but even if it is right. there, I think we all assume with well-known liquors, we know the cost within a dollar or two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like I was ordering Pappy Van Winkle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I know what Seagram's is supposed to cost. Is it classless to ask what a drink costs before you order it?
No.
Oh, really?
I mean,
excuse me, because you drink. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't know. You've never seen James Bond order, like martini, shaken, not stirred. By the way, before you pour that, what's that?
Well, because
you guys never think to ask.
If you're in a high class situation, you are going to stand out because all those other rich jamokes are just throwing it down and drinking. So if you were at a regular bar, I would say, yeah. If you were at Jeremiah's,
yeah,
yeah. But if you're drinking high-end country club stuff where these people, money doesn't matter.
I don't even think you can do it in a place like Jeremiah's.
Oh, I think you could.
No, come on, man.
Because the busier the bar, the less likely I am to
either
send the drink back or, complain about the price.
Or I say, Tuesday night, I'm hanging out at Jeremiah's and I ask, I don't think that's
it. Bro, you and I, we're going to be we're at Jeremiah's, right? And we're hanging out or Salinger's or wherever.
Yeah. Regular drinking joint.
We're sitting at the bar and the guy down the way goes, can I get a whiskey sour? By the way, what's that Jameson cost?
Yeah.
You ain't saying nothing?
Well.
You ain't saying nothing?
Well, here's the thing.
Why you lie?
I would be shocked if it was overpriced at those joints.
Okay.
I mean, because they're not over-the-top joint. You know what I mean?
No, I understand, but it doesn't mean they can't charge whatever they
want. They could clip you, but it would be, I guess I would be more shocked. You're at a country club paying that price. I kind of see it, not to that extent.
$14 for Seagram's? $14?
So I, like the most, but everybody's had that moment, if you drink long enough, where you get that sticker shock on a drink that you normally think is coming in $10 to $20 cheaper than what you thought.
No kidding.
Especially now, because all the prices went crazy.
Sure. Hey, have either of you guys ever asked what a drink cost before you ordered it in your life?
No,
never.
No.
So don't sit here and tell me that's okay, you bitch.
But I've always been. But I'm not one of those people that are going to question. I know how women are about money, and I bet you some women when they go out drinking with the girls, they ask for the price before they order.
Would you judge a woman? Would you judge a woman for doing that?
No, because that's just what women do.
No, you wouldn't judge her because you also want to know. You're just happy she asked first.
That too.
No, because he's not drinking Three Olives Grape. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I ran into this, I guess not quite the same issue, but when I was at the Bills game, you know how like you're waiting in line for a while to get a drink and then you finally get up there and you don't want to hold anybody up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had said two blue lights. And they came back and they gave me two Bud Lights.
Oh.
And they had already opened them.
Oh.
So as badly as I wanted to be like, hey, you know, I said blue light. I'm like, I'm just going to eat this one.
No way.
I all I was craving was a blue light and I didn't get it. And I was super disappointed, but I was not holding up that line.
In that case, you've spent so much on those giant cans of
beer. I know.
I'm telling them, I need the blue light.
They already popped it open, and I'm like, oh.
No, but if they pour the wrong drink, that's on them.
I'm with you. Tommy's right.
I couldn't do it.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. My wife has an event on Saturday night. I go as her companion, arm candy, handsome, tied, bearded gentleman. And we were going to be there for a long time. So right when I get there, I get myself a nice stiff drink. Ooh. And I wanted to look cool, too, because, you know, like there's something about holding a whiskey.
It's very sophisticated.
Yeah, right? Where I'm so, and I need all the sophistication I can get when I go to these things. The only whiskey they had was Seagram's.
Mm.
I order a double Seagram's neat. And it was $28. So after tip, it was a $30 glass of whiskey.
Could have bought a case of it.
Did you make that last as long as possible?
Hour and a half. I'm not kidding.
That's tough to do.
Yeah, no, you're no kidding, especially when I just wanted to gloom.
Yeah.
So you could make the argument that when it comes to the overpriced drinks, because look, bartenders know what things are supposed to cost.
Mm.
A cool bartender would give you a heads up before they pour it.
So I know, like, you always laugh at me when I go to the airport and I get a drink. They go, do you want to double it for an extra $2?
Oh my God.
Like they tell you this, though.
Once a week, you will bring up the fact that the airport will double your drink.
Well, I bet you wish they would have told you that. Instead of you want to double that? $30. See, they give you that heads up. Right. Now, it's a selling point.
No, it's a deal, yes. There's a difference between, hey, I'll double it for $2, or, hey, do you know that this is $12 a shot?
But I also think, like, when you walk up and order a double, you're used to paying a higher price because you're ordering a double shot of a drink.
Sure.
So why would they give you the heads up? You're already in there ordering doubles, so you know you're going to pay way more for this cocktail.
Well, but here's the thing. I had a 20 in my hand. I was ready. I was anticipating $8 a shot, $4 on a tip to be, you know, cool, Johnny Cool guy,
and
we'll walk out of there.
Oh, that had to be worse, though, to reach back into your wallet. Oh, okay.
I had to hand 220s. I've never handed 220s in my life for a single drink, man. But here's the thing. Mm. With the whole bartender giving you a heads up, it's also a very dangerous game for them. Because in letting you know that this drink is more expensive than you think it'll be, they're also kind of telling you, hey, you look like you can't afford this. All right, what's more embarrassing in front of other people?
Right.
A, asking what the drink costs before you order it. B, saying you don't want it after it's already been poured and they tell you the cost. Or C, the bartender warning you in front of everybody, oh, do you know that it costs this much?
Mm.
B is still the most embarrassing?
Yeah.
Pouring it,
because
saying
after
I don't want
too,
it.
I can't go back up to the bar and order something else.
Oh, like, yeah, you're done.
Yeah, you have tapped out.
Oh, wait, you can't go for a small, less expensive?
After, like, sending the drink back, I'm not doing it.
Because, like, you are the most hated person at that event right now. Because, like, you just caused her all that headache.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you aren't. Look, if you make me a drink, fine, I understand that argument. Jesus.
But you pushed it back, man.
Well, but $30!
Like,
and you want it.
And you're
I mean,
in
you
a
do
suit.
Want the drink.
You put a tie on.
I was in a tuxedo.
Oh, man. If you're in a tuxedo, you look like the Grand Marshal of Chinstown.
By the way, I got a maroon tuxedo jacket for $30 on clearance like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're not kidding. The tuxedo jacket I was in cost what my drink cost me. And I got to tell you, man, I look dynamite in this maroon tuxedo jacket. I look phenomenal. So you're right. There was no way.
Yeah, if you're taking tickets at the theater.
Is somebody jealous that they can't pull off a maroon tuxedo jacket?
Nobody can pull off maroon.
I looked phenomenal. I look great in that jacket. A lot of compliments on the maroon tuxedo jacket. Just say it. Thank you, Express Outlet Store. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I spent $30 on a double Seagram's Neat at an event with my wife over the weekend, and my jaw almost hit the floor. We got folks sitting on hold, Instagram message coming in. Stephanie writes us, something similar happened to me over the weekend, but with coffee, $7 for a plain cup I had already committed. Are you pushing back a $7 cup of coffee?
Where the hell are they pouring you a $7 cup of black coffee? That
we
would
don't
be
know
shocking.
If it was just plain coffee.
Well,
but
she said plain
again,
coffee.
I would just drink the coffee.
Yeah.
Like $7 is not going to throw you into a financial tailspin.
And I came there for the coffee. I'm not leaving without the coffee.
$7?
That is shocking.
Yeah.
For a regular coffee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So one thing I will tell you is there's only one thing worse than what happened to you is if I or somebody like me was with you and started laughing their ass off when you found out how much it costs. Like the embarrassment of your buddy laughing that you just got raked would be even worse than all those three scenarios you painted.
Yeah. Well, no, because at least we have a fun story later.
Well, one of us does.
No, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. Because, like, let's say I had somebody with me, like you're with me, and I go, hey, I got the first round, and we both order that, and it's $60. A $60 round.
And you get the first round?
Yeah, I guess. You know what? I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at the time. Is it quarter after seven already?
252-WCMF. Let's talk to John. Hey, Johnny. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
What up, man?
So I don't have a liquor one. I have a food one. And I went out to a nice dinner with the old lady. I have what I want. The lady comes with the specials. Oh, 20-ounce porterhouse. I'm like, oh, this sounds good. She's like, it's enough for both of you to eat it. I'm like, I can handle it. Yeah, I'll take care of it. Yep, I'll do it. So I ordered it. It was a little overcooked. By the second half of it, it was full of pepper, and I was just like, I'm not a send-back person. I just was like, let's just grit through it.
All right.
So I was annoyed. Signed the check. I throw the receipt over the old lady. I'm like, I'm done with it. She goes, do you know how much that steak cost you? And I'm like, no. She goes, take a guess. You guys want to guess how much this 20-ounce?
So it's a 20-ounce porterhouse. That's a thick-cut porterhouse.
Enough
steak.
For two.
Enough for
and
two.
And it is a special.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to go $55.
No, 55, bro. That was a 80. Buck 20.
How much?
You were the closest. $130.
Yeah.
Wait.
Ooh, okay.
A steak.
Yeah, bro.
That fell out of a cow's ass. In this town.
I went to Costco. I was in Adegua, so we're now farther a little out, but still, whatever. I went to Costco the week before, grabbed a pile of steak that I know were 20 ounces a piece, and they were much, much larger than the one I got at that table that day.
So here's the thing, John. If you would have been in a maroon tuxedo jacket, you would have looked way cooler eating that $120 steak.
Oh, dude. It wouldn't matter. I would have been balling.
All right, so, John, I'm going to throw out a theory because I've had this theory with Tommy before, and I think he thinks I'm stupid and classless.
Go ahead.
My theory is any steak that costs over $30, no matter what the size. $30 is the maximum for what a good steak costs. Everything else, you're just paying for the rent and all the lights around you.
You're paying the top for a $30 steak? That's the most you'll pay for a steak?
No. I'm not saying that's the most I'll pay. I'm saying if I'm paying
the quality of that steak.
Anything over $30, you're not paying for the meat anymore. You're not paying for cooking it. You're paying for the lights and the rent and the uniforms of the waiters and waitresses. Like, it should be a $30 steak.
Yeah, fair enough. They're cleaning the crumbs off your table, no doubt.
Right. Well, Johnny, thanks for the call, buddy. Sorry about your steak.
No problem.
All right, so here's the thing.
What?
It sucks because he didn't know the price beforehand, so he probably didn't enjoy it. Do you think like you would enjoy it more knowing how much it was once it got to the table?
Not if he said he didn't. Well,
yeah. If the meat also sucked.
Yeah.
On top of that, that's just like slapping you in the face.
Yep. With a big old hunk of meat.
Didn't even get to enjoy it.
Now, here's the thing, though. What? I feel for John here, but
Johnny
I think it's a little bit different.
What?
Now I understand. I was wearing a $30 tuxedo jacket at an event with my wife at a country club locally here in town. So like me complaining about a $30 double Seagram's is one thing. But like when it comes on special and the waitress says it feeds two,
right?
You kind of got to expect that kind of.
Well, yeah, she did give him a little bit of a heads up, and he tried to be big time. Yeah, I can eat it myself.
It's not like she was like, you know, this steak comes from Aldi's where you would assume it would be less expensive. Seagram's seems like expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, we also don't know where he was because it could be based on the prices on the rest of the menu. Maybe he wasn't expecting it to be that much.
Well, he said it was Canandaigua.
True.
But there's some high-end Canandaigua. Yep. Super high-end.
Yeah.
Canandaigua was also weird because like you'll have those places like John just described.
Yeah.
And then there's like those mom-and-pop corner bar places where you can get a flank steak for like $15.
Right, but he bypassed those to be fancy, man.
And he was with his old lady, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Date night, you want to look at the water, nice.
I love how
get a little action.
We've all turned on John. John was being just a nice guy, trying to relate to it. John sucks, boo, John! One more question.
What?
As we talk about this $30 Seagram's that I paid for on Saturday, can the price of a drink pull you away from what you normally drink? Because, Tommy, you're a Jameson guy.
Yep.
All right. Let's say you end up at an event.
Yeah.
Jameson is $14 a shot, like the Seagram's was, but the well is $6. Are you drinking well whiskey?
No.
So you'll pay the $30 for the double Jameson.
Yeah.
When you could be paying $15.
And here's the worst thing. I will drink it all night and regret all of it. But I don't want the hangover. And I don't want to drink something I don't like.
So there's no cutoff for you on $30 drink.
Yeah, there's a reason why I'm broke.
Whew. All right. Well, here's the thing that sucks about this discussion. There's no solution. You're not going to ask the price of it.
Nope.
You're not going to push the drink back after it's been ordered. So,
and if you're stuck there all night, you're probably gonna pony up another one.
No, I had the one that was.
Well, you were driving, but let's say you weren't driving, and it's a cheat day, and now you're just gonna sit there with one drink all night where everybody else is getting boozed up.
I was so embarrassed. I think I would have sat there with one drink all night.
Well,
even
I wouldn't
if I
be embarrassed in that thing because everybody's getting the same hose deal because it's a high end event.
Yeah, but I was the only one. Like I was looking. Here's the thing, too. I also did like the petty thing where I perched myself away from the bar. My wife was running around doing things.
Yeah,
and I was like watching other people. And nobody else had the look on their face that I had on my face. Because
they
were
high end.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just a customer. Let's take a break.
All right.
We presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Use the word miracle way too casually.
Mm.
But an incident over the weekend, it's a legitimate miracle. Because when you see the remnants of this home, when you see the video of what the actual incident looked like, when you hear the neighbors describe what they felt, there's no human being that can survive this.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, today, they're still here. And if this were you, you'd have to start asking some pretty heavy questions.
Look at that.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Did you guys see what happened on Stone Road in Greece yesterday?
If you turned on the TV at any point, you saw it.
Okay, so for those who may have been unplugged due to the long week, 5 a.m. Monday morning, fire crews were called for reports of an explosion on Stone Road. And oh my God, was it an explosion. A home blew the F up.
Yeah.
Blew the F up.
It's just a pile of lumber.
So people who live in the area say the explosion shook their entire homes and knocked things off shelves. One person on 13 Wham they interviewed said they thought a car had driven through their front door. One of the neighbors said.
Yeah, it looked like a missile hit it.
So there's video from someone's ring cam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch this video, you see the home blow up and in an instant cease to be a house.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just a pile of wood.
Yeah.
The pieces of the wood that used to be this house were aflame.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors said immediately they could hear screaming outside, which is never a good sign.
Yeah.
So with all of that together, you automatically assume the worst.
Yeah.
And honestly, watching that video, there's no way a human being could survive that.
Leveled.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, after it happened, some neighbors on Stone ran towards the home to see if there was anything they could do, which, by the way, also remarkable.
Super brave.
Right?
Yeah. Not knowing what caused
it.
What, you know, I would be like, my first thought would be, let's get as far away from this neighborhood as possible. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the authorities ended up doing. Yeah. They had to vacate the whole area to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
When the neighbors got to this home,
what did they find?
They say they saw the three people who lived there, a man, a woman, and their daughter, crawling out from under the debris.
Bam.
They survived the explosion.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Now, it's very important to point out here, because, you know, we are a show that reports only on what's being reported by news stations.
Mm-hmm.
The police have not commented on any of this. They haven't even made the statement that the three of them had made it out of the house.
Yeah.
Story on the DNC says the neighbors...
through witnesses.
Yes, through witnesses said that they put those folks in the ambulance and they took off. So we do not know what their condition is right now. I mean, obviously, you hope to God everything's going to be okay. But how a person could survive what you see on that video is unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
To put it into further perspective.
Yeah.
The giant fireball.
Kimmy, it was...
Yeah.
The home next door to where this house exploded had its door blown in and the siding to the house melted.
Yeah, the heat, yeah.
And these people inside the house are alive right now.
Yeah.
How do you process surviving something like that? Because, like, there's a near-death experience. I think most people listening to the show have had points in their life where, like, in a flash you thought, oh, my God, this is it.
Yeah.
Right? But there are so many things in this specific case that have to go through your head. Because, Tommy, you're not a spiritual man.
No.
Right? We're not a very spiritual show.
Mm.
But even you can admit it would be hard not to consider some kind of divine intervention.
By God's hand.
While you're crawling
out.
Pulled
you out from the rubble.
I mean, Tommy, what else could, not only you.
You wouldn't know what even just happened.
Everybody.
Yeah. Sure.
Everybody in the house got out. I mean... There's a bunch of ways to process what this means. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What is your first thought climbing out of that house if you're these people?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, you're just lucky to be alive, right? I mean, you got to just feel like I dodged one.
Okay, so you're looking at it as complete luck. There's nothing else involved.
Just how life is so random and cruel.
Kimmy, are you thinking the same thing?
I might not even know in that moment. Like, I don't know where my head would be at, but I might think, like, am I alive? Am I alive?
So you might think you're dead.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about what you just, witnessed in that split second. I would think, like, am I functioning? Like, what's going on here? Like, why am I still here?
By the way, I hope that heaven is not Stone Road in Greece. That would be a pretty big disappointment. Frears isn't even there anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't even get to go to the Christmas tree.
I might not even realize whether or not I'm hurt yet. You know, you're just...
Shocked.
Yeah. You're
shocked. But take that away. Let's say once it all does.
Right, so it all settles down. You're in the hospital. You see the video of what happened to your home. You now fully comprehend what happened. You're just looking at this as pure luck.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that's ever happened to me, I always figured... Man, it just wasn't time.
Okay. But it's funny you say that because you talk about luck and life is cruel and random. And look, man, I'm not here to disagree.
And everybody's time is going to run out.
But at the same time, you say time, time, which in saying that says that you believe there is a day where you're gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you have a finite number of days you're going to live.
And you check out.
Okay. But it's already kind of set.
Not, well.
That's what you said.
Well, you're going to die. I mean, that's. Nobody gets away from it.
Sure.
So it's the wall. You're going to hit it at some point.
Sure.
So maybe I do in some respect. But
So you're a giant hypocrite. I'm sorry, go on.
Well, yeah, we've established that. But I don't think there's a God that his hand came down and saved you.
Okay.
Because what about the times when that hand doesn't show up?
No, I understand.
This is a big one, though.
And like the people that I've noticed that were saved from tragedy that were huge pieces of crap.
Look, I'm not here to argue that religion or spirituality is the reason this happened. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is, I don't know how as a human being.
You'd be seeking an explanation.
Yes, you would need to find a reason why this happened, because we're logical people, right? All human beings are logical. You want to know why this happened. And if you're someone who is looking for a reason, I don't know how you could look at something like this and go, oh man, dodged a bullet there.
That's the way I look at it, though.
All right.
Because there's like a million of these stories around the globe that people shouldn't be here. But they somehow, they just landed it right. You stuck the landing.
Timing.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We were talking about this house explosion on Stone Road in Greece yesterday morning. As far as we know, the three people inside the home are alive.
Yeah.
They were taken by ambulance, according to witnesses. We don't know their condition now. And again, the authorities have not commented on something like this. But if you see the devastation, if you watch the actual video, if you hear the description from the neighbors of what it felt like, I mean, I don't know. That would, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also not a very spiritual person. But whether or not you feel like there's some divine hand coming down, it wouldn't at least change the way you live your life moving forward.
Well, you realize how, you know, fragile life is, right? And how it could go away at any second.
You'd feel like you got a second chance.
You
got
to live your life now.
You'd want to be a better person. I don't know how long that would last.
All right, so it is,
but you'd want to initially.
I think you had to live in a moment.
I do enjoy the two ways that you guys are processing this right now, right? Because I'm with you, Kimmy. Like, the first thought would be, I'm here for something,
right,
and
right,
I got to be a better person. Yeah. Now, even you could admit, who knows how long that takes. For you, you're like, all right, man, pedal to the floor. Let's live it up selfishly. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine.
Yes. Absolutely. Because you don't get any credit for the other one.
Sure you do. Well, who cares about credit? You're helping out other people.
Yeah.
They don't want your help.
They do, actually.
What do they need? You know, they want your money.
Yeah, that would be help.
Hey, well, you ain't getting my money because I just blew it living in the moment, baby.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Victor. Hey, Victor. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Yo.
I had a near death. It wasn't my house didn't blow up, but I was on my motorcycle driving back from... I worked at Home Depot on Westridge Road, coming back to Fetchner Road, and this baby deer came out of nowhere, like it would come behind your garbage can right now.
Ooh.
And I started to turn, and my bike almost endoed, and I bounced off the car next to me and was able to straighten out my bike as she ran over the deer.
Holy crap.
And I pulled over to the side of the road after I had hit her car with a passenger peg from the back of my motorcycle, and I was completely fine. It made me realize I am now immortal, and I haven't changed my lifestyle one bit.
But God really hated that deer.
Oh, all right, Victor, how old were you when this happened, buddy?
It was probably 10, 12 years ago, so I was about 44, right in that range there.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So there was never a moment after it was done where you're sitting a couple of days later, you're allowing yourself to process this, where you thought, like, hey, maybe I'm here for a reason, maybe there's something else I should be doing.
No, I'm still a dick. Nothing's changed.
Okay.
But I was amazed that I was able to keep that bike upright. Because the truck behind me was right on my behind, and he would have ran over me. Had I have endoed, I would have been squashed.
Well, listen, Victor, we're glad you made it, buddy.
He didn't endo.
Ooh. Bye, Victor. Right. Have a good rest of the day. Thank God we kept Victor.
Yeah.
What would this show be without him? Let me tell you what sucks. Speaking of a guy that loves to tell us what sucks, 252-WCMF, let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, brother?
Oh, it's that good, huh? Hey, let me editorialize about your brand-new equipment. Kimmy sounds great. Tommy sounds great. Pat, it sounds like you're broadcasting from a tin can with a clothesline pin on your nose. What the hell happened?
We're working on it. They're working their way through,
Jeremy. We're tweaking.
We're getting there.
Oy vey. Listen, there have been documented cases... And I will say that nobody knows what caused this explosion. There have been documented cases where gas explosions happen at houses, and the people inside are just fine, because explosions usually damage things that are on the outside of explosions. So kudos to these people. I'm sure they got their bell rung pretty good, because a lot of concussive things happen, and their ears are probably going to ring for 2 weeks. And as far as any divine intervention, as far as pulling people out of exploding houses, could you not make the house explode in the first place?
No, look, valid point. That? Jeremy, no, look.
That would be nice.
Jeremy, I'm not here to argue for religion. You know me.
I know.
I guess what I'm asking...
You asked a question, I'm answering you.
You're right. But I'll ask you personally, right? In a situation where you're walking away from a situation where you're sure you should have died. You are sure you should have died. There is not a question in your head, and take spirituality out of it, is there something better I can be doing with my life? Is this a life-changing moment for someone like you?
I have to be honest with you. I would be mad at myself for 12 hours or so saying, what did I screw up to cause this? I'd be beating myself up.
Okay.
And maybe after that I'd be like, yeah, whatever, we're all going to die someday. I guess I'm a decent person. I'm not going to change anything. You know, what am I going to do? I don't go around hitting people, and I don't go around, you know, being a jerk other than to radio shows. But, you know, I feel that I'm an okay person. I'm a productive member of society. I'm not going to change anything.
Oh, yeah, you're nailing it, Jeremy.
Done and done.
Hey, I don't pay $28 for a stupid drink, and I don't sit in my wife's house that I don't own all day, so shut up. Bye, Dix.
Bye, Jeremy. That was just hurtful.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
So he wouldn't be kind to anybody any more than he already is.
That's exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
But no, you said it in a judging tone without realizing you have the same take he does. 252 WCMF talking about this home explosion on Stone Road early yesterday morning. According to witnesses, the folks survived. We don't know their condition right now. We hope they're okay. But we're talking about how something like this would change you if it makes you spiritual, more religious. If you look at it as a cruel and random thing that happens to everybody. If you feel like you have a purpose in your life moving forward. Let's take one more call. Because everyone we've talked to so far, you having never had a near-death experience, except every time you stepped on stage, Jeremy and Victor said this: it didn't change me or it wouldn't change me. George has got the last word. Hey, George, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Duffy.
I'm good, man. What do you got?
So a couple months ago, I'm sure you guys remember, there was the incident with the Kia boys on Elmwood and Allen's Creek or East Avenue.
Yeah.
I was actually driving home that day from a job that I was at, and I was sitting at the intersection of East and Elm, and it was red light on me, and I was sitting there, and it felt like somebody tapped my forehead, and I realized, oh, I could actually turn right on red here. So I made the turn. I got past Allen's Creek, and I actually witnessed the accident that the Kia boys caused with the elderly gentleman there up at Allen's Creek.
Okay.
And that was pretty surreal experiencing that because I'm 35. This really about the closest that I've had for a brush of death. And it was about a 10-second delay from when the accident happened to where I was.
So, I mean, it could have been you in all reality, George.
It was. I actually had pulled off to the side of the road, and I said, holy cow, that was almost me. My dad actually lives right up the street from where the accident happened, and I actually had to get out of my work van, and I had to talk to him for about 15 minutes because that was a lot to process in a short amount of time.
All right, so George, let me ask you, from that moment, the guy you were before, has it changed the man you are now?
Definitely makes me a little bit more cautious on doing things. I mean, obviously there are just freak things that just happen, but definitely kind of was like, wow. I definitely felt kind of the ice of death, you know, a little bit over me at that point. So kind of made me a little bit more cautious.
Definitely kind of like, wow.
Wow. Wow. Cautious.
George, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. Thanks, guys. You too.
There goes George. All right. So it seems like based on everyone's experience, I mean, other than coming to terms with what you were a part of or what you witnessed.
It takes a little bit to process that alone.
But you just go back to what you were doing.
Yeah. I think we all do. I think maybe you change for a little bit. You just go back to being your true self.
I mean, there are people that change. It does happen. There's documented instances.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they're documented, because it's so few and far between.
You might be right.
They have to be studied.
Let's take a break. Just because we were not here does not mean the man does not get held accountable, because we are a show that holds people accountable.
And it picks roll on.
That's right. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Great Bills game on Sunday, at least the second half of it. First 5 minutes, then the second half, right? Mm-hmm. Tommy made his picks, and because one thing happened, you're confident.
Hot damn out the gate. Hot damn.
You know what? Let's just get right to it, because you made your picks, and now we're going to find out. Kimmy, give it to him.
Tommy told it like it is, and now we find out how it was. Excuse post-game Tuesday in the break room on WCMF.
All right, let's get to a first pick from Friday here in the break room on CMF. Over under, one half a touchdown from Dalton Kincaid.
Well, the kid's got to step up.
He doesn't
You have to in this league. Every week, every play, you must step up.
If he has to step up, why hasn't he stepped up and had two touchdowns every week?
This is his day to step up. It's Dalton Day.
They're calling on Dalton. Indy.
Calling all Daltons.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, he's not listening.
I heard you. You said Dalton.
Right. You said the word Dalton in there.
Oh, it took.
Okay.
Kimmy, can we, I should have looked this up. Can we get just real quick, how many touchdowns Dalton Kincaid has so far
this
season?
He's got them all.
No, he doesn't.
He got all he deserved.
He's got them all. When the end zone catch the ball.
He has
two touchdowns.
Oh, so he's due. This kid is due.
Okay. So then, over, under.
He is Hoosier due, baby. Hoosier due, baby.
All right. So to be clear. You are over one half a touchdown from Dalton.
He's got to step up if he wants to be the man.
Okay. Dalton Kincaid, 2 catches, 24 yards, no touchdown.
Well, he went down.
Okay, well, it sucks because he was wide open for a first quarter touchdown pass. And Josh sailed it on him. Like, he could have turned around and moonwalked into the end zone for 3 minutes, and he overthrew him.
That would have been my whopper.
But it didn't happen. But like you said, worse than that.
Yeah.
He's out.
He missed most of the game with a knee injury. So Keon already ruled out for Kansas City. We're waiting to see about Amari Cooper, who missed the game against Indy, if he's going to be good to go. If this knee keeps Dalton out of this Chiefs game.
Not good.
It's borderline impossible against the way this Chiefs D has been playing to win this game on Sunday. So you have to pray to all of the tight end gods.
Get all better.
Yeah, you need him. You need him, and you need Cooper, too, or else you got no shot.
Mm. Yeah, you need all the weapons you can get.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Right. You're 0-1, which is weird because I heard you were going to be dunk-a-ruin this week.
Well, that was almost a dunk-a-ruin.
Almost, but it was an 0-1. Let's get to our second pick from Tommy here on CMF. Over, under, 80 yards rushing. For Colts running back Jonathan Taylor.
But if that's all they got as a weapon, they should be able to zero in on it.
Yeah, but, I mean.
And Flacco sucks.
Flacco does not suck.
Well,
bro, that dude is, if this kid's old, Flacco's got to be ancient.
He's 39, and Flacco
he
brought.
He is, but I don't know. Every now and then, like, he looks like he's still got it
sometimes.
He ain't
got any gas in the tank.
Okay, look, man.
But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Your argument that that's their only weapon potentially on Sunday is a valid argument. But the Bills, again, their biggest deficiency this season might be the ability to stop the
run. You don't think they've been working on this all week? Oh, what else are they doing?
What were they doing the week before when they played the Dolphins?
That's a great question. Ask the coach.
What were they doing before they played Baltimore?
Well, you couldn't stop that guy.
You can. In fact, last night.
Some people figured it out.
Yeah. I mean,
he still got almost 90 yards.
They've lost 3 times. Over, under. What? 80 yards rushing for Colts running back Jonathan Taylor.
No, he ain't getting no 80 yards. God damn.
Jonathan Taylor. 21 carries on Sunday.
It's a lot of carries.
Yeah, it was. And he also had a lot of yards, Kimmy.
How many?
114, actually.
How are they not ready for this kid?
What do you know? You can be ready. That's how talented he is.
I was actually surprised they didn't run him more.
Well, so here's the thing. Other than his big breaks that he had, by the way, this was he had it in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a smokeroo.
Well, he had that 59-yard
58-yarder, yep. Yeah, 51. Well, no, almost touchdown. Taylor Rapp saved a touchdown, which is all he does now. Bills safety Taylor Rapp just saves touchdowns, and then the Bills get stops, and he becomes a player of the game. You asked why they didn't run him more, Kimmy. Outside of those chunk plays, he had like 8 carries for like 14 yards. So they were bottling him up. Except when they didn't.
Right.
But that doesn't matter because you're 0-2, which is weird, Kimmy, because coming
he
in.
He remembered one of his picks, though.
Yep. Smokeroo, dunkaroo, jerkaroo, bitcheroo.
Oh, I got jerkarooed all right.
How did you get jerkarooed on this one?
They didn't stop this kid. They should have been able to stop him.
Which was the argument.
Do your job. What else do you guys do all day?
Tommy, 0-2. On a special Tuesday recap of a Sunday Bills game here on CMF.
Nobody wants to tackle anymore.
Let's get to our third pick from Tommy on Friday here on CMF. Over, under, one half an interception for this Bills
game. You can't tell me this cataract glaucoma quarterback has got any kind of accuracy left.
You're talking about the cataract kid? No, literally, that's what he's living on because I just told you he's thrown 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That is accuracy.
Yeah, but it's not a lot.
Not a lot.
Josh has got more than he does.
Well, yeah, because Josh has played
Josh
the whole season.
Playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's young.
He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, he is.
Okay. Over, under, half
an interception. You're going to pick this grandpa off.
To be clear, are you over or under one half an interception for the Bills' deal?
I'm betting against the nursing home here. I'm saying they're going to get to him. Yeah, okay. They're going to pick. I'm going to take the over.
Okay. I want to say this pick ruined my Bill Gray's experience on Sunday.
Why?
Because I was at the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chile. And, you know, it's a bunch of our listeners. Everyone's so cool. We're hanging out, having a good time. And the Colts' first offensive play from scrimmage. So that's a hit. Congratulations.
Come on, man. How exciting was that?
Every guy. It was great. I love Taron Johnson. He's my favorite Bills player on this roster.
Yeah, that was an amazing way to start this game.
But then every guy in Bill Greer, oh, Tommy Conner, yeah, sweet Peru, Dunkaroo.
I don't know if they were cheering more probably for you or the Bills, probably even.
Yeah, I think it was about even. Yeah, one guy was wearing a Tommy jersey. It just said sadness scrawled across the front of it. By the way, poor Joe Flacco. I mean, like, yeah, he had 272 yards. He throws three picks, and he was sacked four times. He got hammered.
Tough day for him.
I mean, they kept putting Flacco on his backo. I wrote that down.
Why?
On Sunday. Flacco.
On his backo.
On his backo. Hit the road, Jacko. You lost. All right, that's your first win.
Yeah.
So you got actually two more picks to get even.
Yep.
Or to have a winning week. So let's see how the fourth pick went for Tommy here on CMF. Tommy, do the Bills win? And if so, is it by four or more?
Man, this game, with all your history and all this stuff,
yes,
I smell dew. Like, there's some dews going on.
I think you've said that with every pick. Everybody's due.
But yeah, I'm smelling. I'm smelling a big ass dew.
I agree, man. Every time you open your mouth, it's nothing but dew. Dew, dew, dew. But you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm taking them to win this game.
All right, so you got them winning. Do you have them winning by four or more?
Oh, I think it's going to be a convincing win.
Mm. How convincing, Tommy?
Well, you think about it. I mean, I think they're definitely going to cover those points.
For crap, okay, for God's sakes, just say so then what I think you're it'd be this on. Stupid thing. Nobody cares. Just get it over with.
Who's your do blowout?
Who's your do?
Who's your do blowout?
You hit this one by the skin of your taint.
Well, they got a late touchdown, but it still kept me. It still was a blowout.
I was screaming at the television. Go for two! Go for two! Go for two! That would have been the best part of it.
It was a junk touchdown at the end of the game.
Still count. I mean, backdoor covers are a real thing.
I like when I get them. Junk game. Junk touchdown.
No, no. I mean, if you bet the Bills to win by 10 and they go for two and get it, it's a backdoor cover. You lose your bet. Okay, look. You got your 2-2, man. You're even.
Right.
Bro. Oh, my God. After that terrible start, could you finish off with a winning week like the Bills did
let's
also?
Let's see.
Oh, let's see Tommy's bonus pick for Friday here on CMF.
Brian, not so fast, Duffy buddy. So I'm expecting big things from Dalton Kincaid.
Okay, we're going back to Dalton Kincaid.
He did not have a bonus pick.
No,
I
do.
That's stuck in his head, and that's where he's going. Okay.
Dalton's right. Getting in twice. And when he does, somebody in their skybox is going to lose their mind and throw their goddamn beer against the plate glass window.
Who's that?
Well, who do you think's the most famous Hoosier?
Who?
Well, who do you think?
If you say who I think you're going to say, if you say bootleg Bruce Springsteen right now, who are you going to say?
That's who I'm picking.
You idiot! You're such an idiot!
John Cougar, because I'm going to use his old middle name. Mellencamp.
Does he go to
he's
the games?
Be, oh, he go, him and Bird go to all the games.
No, he doesn't.
I don't.
So Larry Bird and him have this.
No, they don't. You're making this up.
They sit in the same box.
Larry Bird and John Mellencamp do not have a suite together.
They're super cool friends.
Okay.
Super cool friends.
Mm. You
they're so cool, in fact.
Super cool friends.
They had other things to do that day.
You can hit the buzzer. That might have been the most wrong bonus pick you've ever picked in the history of bonus picks, because not only did Dalton Kincaid leave the game early, not score a single touchdown. Yeah. It turns out that John Mellencamp was on tour on Sunday.
Where?
I don't know, but he had posted pictures of himself on stage. Because we went and looked.
What about Larry Bird?
Larry Bird died on Saturday.
Did he really?
Yeah. God rest his soul. They put him in a shoebox and buried him in the backyard, like you would with most birds. So 2-3.
All right. Not bad.
Compared to what you thought it was going to be? Oh, man. I remembered one pick I made. That's what I remember. That's it.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.